This is the tale thus far. Deep in the dune seas of Maya lies Mareel, the last standing city of Mashkala. This is a city of magi and mystics, thieves and cutthroats, a city where the shadows themselves watch your every move. In this place, a band of unlikely adventurers will come together to unearth ancient artifacts, hidden temples, and a plot that threatens the very fabric of reality. A plot beyond the control of the gods above and below is unfolding. In this dark time, a folk story has come to light, and the only hope for the survival of the city and all of creation may be a legendary artifact known as the Crown of Queens.
What was I supposed to decipher?
First and foremost, welcome back. Hi, everybody. It's been a minute. God, I've missed you all. I've missed rolling dice. Old Magic Gaming has gone through some revamps. We're really excited. All the stuff that we have coming for you this year. Welcome back to Crown of Queens. I am here with the whole crew except for Em. If you'll remember, she plays Silent. She'll actually be coming in a little bit. We have an affiliate now. We are working with Found Familiar Coffee. Very happy to be working with a talented coffee available for the masses. It's delicious too. I'm actually drinking MetaMagic right now. You can use code OLDMAGICGAMING when you check out at Found Familiar, and that'll save you 10%. On all your coffee purchases, and you can use that code more than once, so you know. But yeah, so before we get started, I want to tell a funny story. We've got a new cast member with us, Paul. He'll be playing a new character that we'll get into in a little bit. But we had been talking before game about trying to translate D&D notes, and if you've been listening to OMG from the beginning, particular story that Maddie tells about friggin' Dadwell.
Little spoilers with the name, but yeah, so this was, God, probably almost 20.
We've been playing game for a long time, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
This was actually a second ed game that somebody was running for us. And back then, our note taker was this guy, Frank. Frank took good notes, but he had terrible, terrible handwriting.
And, on account of the 9 fingers and 11 toes.
Well, he had terrible handwriting before that, but the missing finger certainly did not help.
How did he lose the finger?
Sewed it on his foot, obviously.
You know when you're told not to put your hand into a wood chopper, like a log chopper? Yeah, no, Frank didn't listen. That's what happened.
Well, this dude loses his whole hand.
Yeah, just his index finger on his right hand.
So
a weird finger to lose.
I know.
Was he flipping it off?
No.
Fuck you, wood chipper.
Well, no, it wasn't the middle. It was the index finger.
Yeah, that's the index finger.
He showed us. He tried to say two. It looked like he was flipping us off. Yeah. So we in one campaign, we walk into a room in this dungeon, and it's got 8 pools of water in it, and each one has different features. So one is like bright green and smells of a forest. One was fizzing and had a bad smell. One was pitch black and smelled of nothingness. And Frank is jotting all this down. Or at the end of that session, Frank says he's not going to be there for the next session. He hands me his notebook and says, here, take notes for me. Which, if you've ever gone to school with me, is a terrible, terrible idea.
It is.
If it looks like the ramblings of a madman. Water, big room, pools, just this real, real clipped version of the notes. So the next session we get to, Frank's not there, and the DM asks me to recap what happened last time. And this is the first time I'm actually looking at these notes, and I cannot make heads or tails of any of this. So I have to kind of BS my way through it until I get to the section about the pools. And I say, yeah, we walk into a room with 8 pools, and they, oh, this is bad. I can't read what any of these say. And, you know, some of the other guys are like, it can't be that bad. And I'm going, no. There's one I can't read at all. One says friggin' Dadwell. Everyone's like, it doesn't say friggin' Dadwell. And I had to pass the notebook around, and everybody went, damn hell, that says friggin' Dadwell.
Damn hell, it did say friggin' Dadwell.
Friggin' Dadwell. And it took us, it legitimately took us 15 minutes to scour through this and go, fizzing bad smell. That's what that is.
So D&D notes, ladies and gentlemen, take good notes like Vanessa. Don't be like Maddie or God forbid Frank.
There's our Goofus and Gallant.
Yeah, right. Pretty much yeah. Vanessa and Maddie are Goofus and Gallant.
My notes are not great, but at least they are notes.
And they're legible.
Yeah, they're legible. They're just nonsensical.
And M's notes are like some shit out of Encarta. You know, you look at M's notes and it's just like, we were.
I will help M recap. Like, her notes are better than mine.
Her notes are better than my storytelling. She's adding shit that I don't even say in the...
M and Maude are two historians.
She's fucking got the... she's got nuance and subtext, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize that was that good. All right, cool.
No, mine's notes say, like, fat humanoid spider mouth.
Yes, fat humanoid spider mouth.
Helpful.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
Guys, we fought a fat humanoid spider mouth.
Speaking of fat humanoid spider mouth, let's jump back into the game. So last time you guys were here, there was, like you said, conflict with a fat humanoid spider mouth.
Apparently he's 15 feet tall.
Yeah, he was. He was huge. And
on the left side of the room.
He was on the left side of the room.
Notes.
The newts. And a large, angry barbarian man tussled with him while wielding a giant piece of obsidian. You guys rescued a half-elf looking fella, and between the large barbarian and the half-elf, Ella decided that she was going to let everybody into the Church of Whispers.
I definitely was getting something out of it. There's no way. Come on, vote of the party. Would Ella do something if she was not gaining something from doing it?
It is kind of off-brand for her to help people for no reason.
Well, she's
been nicer recently, but she's not that nice.
I think it was legitimately just that they said your mom was on the other side of the street.
Was it just that she wanted in there too? So she was
I think she just wanted to go home. Yeah.
Mama.
I think she just wanted to go see her mother.
Cool enough to bring home. It's like a running.
I think they were just outside. It's like you show up and company's already waiting for you, and Ella's just like, I mean, I guess you could come in.
It's like we rolled up to the house and the wet man like, yeah, we live here. We've been invited.
It is fine, Mama. This is Cry. This is Mama.
And Cry next to Ella is fucking anime laughable.
Because he shall soon be my handmaiden.
Yeah, right. She comes up to like his thigh because he's huge. He dwarfs everybody there. He's bigger than hands. So
actually, Ella probably looks like a in scale, like an actual,
like cat. An actual, cat.
Actual, yeah,
actual house cat.
You guys kind of make it through the front door.
Random question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just looking at my notes. So I was the only one that could open this door because I have the correct razor to open the door.
You're the only one that could open the door because you have the correct combination to the door. Because
okay, that
it's
makes
your
more
home.
Sense. Yeah. I was like, why does the razor matter? I didn't have the razor the last time I used this
door.
Yeah,
it's not. The Church of Whispers is the key to the lasers. Yeah, you have a house key.
Emmy probably does too.
Actually, no. There was discussion about Emmy not getting the house key because you were with him. So
Emmy doesn't get in and out privileges,
right? Unless he leaves with you. But that was more the Duchess's doing. Like,
why would he ever leave my side?
If she's leaving, you're going with her. If she's coming back, you're still watching her because she'll get into a shit ton of trouble. Hey, that's the Duchess. You take it up with your mom, not me.
I am trying to.
We'll get there. Just give me a few minutes. We'll get there. So you guys kind of make it through any kind of bookkeeping or anything that we need to do before we get into it proper? We all good?
I have two more lines of notes. Should I read them?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So my notes say that I opened the door.
Yep.
And then Emmy, with his special eye, can see, which I don't know that I know this or just Emmy knows it.
Right.
But he can see that there is a key, one of the keys that we have been tasked with collecting.
Yes.
Behind this door, that once I open the door, he's like, oh, there's the key. It's right there. I can see it, but I can't grab it or touch it because it's on a different plane of existence.
That is correct.
But do I know that?
No.
Just my notes know that.
Your notes know that.
I've been keeping those kind of close to the chest, especially.
Yeah. So then we go inside, like we walk through the door.
Yeah, you guys walk in the
front door. Emmy sees the key and we walk through the door. That's where my notes end.
So as you guys are walking through the door, I am going to need the Baron to make a perception check.
Oh, first rule of the game.
First rule of the game.
Do it, Matt, do it.
So the Baron notices that as he moves through the door, Gary kind of shifts slightly and feels heavier as he passes through the threshold.
Like button down next to me.
And so Gary kind of drops to the floor and he seems larger. Like he seems like he's a little bit bigger. He seems like he's a little bit bulkier. And it doesn't seem like something that came on over time because you were just carrying him. So it seems like the minute you pass through that threshold, something has transpired with Gary.
Did anything happen to me when I walked through the door?
Mm-mm.
Just Gary.
Just Gary. And the Baron's the only one that knows. So you guys make it down. For those of you who haven't been in the Church of Whispers before, this is old news to Emmerich and Ella, but everybody else, as you guys kind of go down, it looks like you're walking into a very, very opulent cathedral that has been buried underground.
Wow.
Kind of the giant antechamber that you guys were in as you're kind of coming down various staircases, you realize you're just in a spire, almost like a bell tower, to what would be a colossal cathedral area. And there's a lot of side rooms. There's a lot of people moving around. Everybody seems to be kind of clad in very loose-fitting linen garments, but they're all armed. Everybody's making eye contact with you, and you almost get the sensation that they all see you before you see them.
Garments, they all look the same, like a uniform or something? Or just casual clothes?
Yes, just casual clothes. Okay. But everything is comfortable. Everything is loose-fitting. There's plenty of folds to hide, all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
You don't see any kind of guards or whatever, but like I said, you all have the distinct impression as you're moving that these people see you before you see them.
Does any of this seem unusual to me?
Mm-mm. Everything seems pretty much business as usual for you. It just seems like there's more people than normal in here.
Okay.
You're making mental notes as you're walking downstairs, and you're noticing that like a lot of these people have independent shops throughout Mareel, and they shouldn't they be in those shops working? Like, why are they back in the church? It just seems like maybe everybody's kind of come home, or
he's like sheltering there,
or sheltering. Right. That's kind of the impression you're getting. Nobody seems panicked. No, nothing seems frantic, but it does seem like there is more, probably double the normal amount of people that would be in here on a day-to-day basis. And everybody's still working, you know, moving around. You can see that there's different antiques being appraised, different kind of collections of vellum being passed about, probably containing secrets of all different types. The normal information networks moving and shaking, things being processed, people being talked to, deals being made. There's more. It's different. Not in a bad way, not anything that feels like it's dangerous, but you have not seen this much activity in the halls in pretty much ever. And for Mareel being a city the size that it is, it's very strange that there's so many people under one roof. So that kind of feels off to you.
But Emmerich and Ella still seem to know which direction they're going. Like, they know.
Yeah. And Graziella is actually leading you guys.
This is my house. That's why I figured we're not
following her lead. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
As always.
As always, yeah. Why should some things change, right?
So you guys kind of moving around and moving through. You're heading directly, I'm assuming you're heading directly to...
Mm-hmm, to my mom.
To your mom, yeah. So
like wherever her office or home or like wherever I would think she is where I'm going.
And it's one of the, where she's at is one of the inner sanctum areas. It's like it's one of the oldest parts of the Church of Whispers. There's rumors that it was the original kind of cathedral or the original church shrine area that everything else was built around. And she's kind of made it her sort of waiting room or antechamber. And she normally holds court.
Can I also just like keep a side eye on Cry and Roland and make sure they're like just following us and not trying to branch off or go do their own thing or like get in trouble? I brought them in here. I feel responsible for them.
If you can go ahead and pop me a perception check. So we're looking at a
29.
More. You're kind of noticing that there's a little bit of role reversal, but so you and Imric have an interesting relationship where, like, he protects you, but you kind of wander off knowing that he's going to wander after you.
That's accurate.
It's kind of flipped with Cry and Roland. Cry protects Roland, but Cry does the wandering off. So there's a lot more, you're like noticing that Roland doesn't seem so much concerned with everything else that's going on. Like, he is very interested in, like, all of these, like, he can see some things are maybe slightly magical, interesting. There's attractive, you know, tabaxi, there's attractive elves here. It's mostly elves, tabaxi, and humans, by the way, running around. But also, he's spending a lot of his mental time kind of, hey, Cry, buddy, check this out. Like, pointing at things in the direction you guys are traveling, because Cry seems so easily distracted that he just immediately wants to, like, wander off after anything shiny that he sees. Okay. And it doesn't seem like it's a greed-based thing. It literally seems like it's more of a... He seems very interested in toys and literally things that glimmer. So you're noticing, like, as you're walking through, it's sort of a... Because the role is good enough. Roland is very concerned with what Cry is doing.
Does he seem like he's nervous Cry is going to cause trouble, or he's, like, just being protective of him?
He's being protective of him, which you think is very strange because this is a giant...
Yeah, because he's the muscle. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the muscle, and he's just a giant mountain. And this, you know, the slighter of the two actually seems more like the protector when you're watching it. And it kind of gives you a little bit of a warm and fuzzy towards Imric, even if you never, like, admit it. You're like, oh, I'm lucky. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of get that vibe watching these two kind of work. There's a little bit of that. So you guys get through... You kind of come down to these giant doors, and both of the doors are made of it's Pearwood. It's this really kind of this orangish colored old hardwood, and it's you know it's the doors to your mother's antechamber, and they're carved with very intricate knot work, and within the knots there's, you know, lots of little feathers. There's lots of little sort of insects that have been carved in. You've looked at them for years and years and years. I mean, your entire life you've lived here, and it's just kind of this menagerie of flying creatures that have been interworked into these knots that are on the door. And just without even hesitation, you kind of just stride into the room, opening through the door. And your mother is currently meeting a gentleman who, Paul, if you can go ahead and describe your character for the players, please.
Yeah, so it's a human male. He's wearing a mask over his face that looks like it covers the whole bottom part of his face. It looks like a black mask. He's wearing all black. He's got gauntlets, almost clawed-looking gauntlets on both arms. He's got a... shin guards on that look like they're made of metal as well. They kind of a mix of silver and gold. Looks like they were silver at one time, but maybe worn down to where they have more of a gold sheen to them. Long hair, but it's slicked back, and that's it. There's not really much to them.
Anybody got knowledge local?
I recognize the uniform as what Savar?
Yes.
The Hounds?
It's one of the Hounds. One of the Hounds, okay. Of Mishkala.
Savar. I was like, Asher is not his name.
Yes, it is indeed one of the Hounds of Mishkala. All right. So he looks like he's a little higher ranking than... oh, yeah, definitely shit with 21 and 17. Well, the Baron's not going to know.
No.
Yeah, this would be... That would be local from the Baron, not local from Maril. The Baron's looking at him like, I have no idea what this man is.
He reminds me of a rat I knew about 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Four seasons Susan. Ago.
It was Susan.
Not Susan.
So, yeah, it looks like he's higher ranking than Savar was.
Do I recognize him? Have I ever met this man before?
You've never met him before, and you've never known your mom to work with the Hounds. So it's strange that there's one of the Hounds here.
Okay.
But before you have the chance to say anything... she sees you, and it almost like looks like relief washes. And she kind of walks past Kane towards you guys.
I run up to her and I hug her.
Okay. And she just kind of holds you, and she's like, oh, my little nightmare. I am so glad.
You are all right.
Oh, and she kind of looks up and makes eye contact with Emmerich, and she hugs you really tight, and Emmerich, you get the distinct impression that she wants you to walk to her now.
I walk to her then.
And as soon as you get within arm's reach, she reaches out and she kind of pats you twice on your cheek, and it's hard. I mean, it's not an attack. It hurts a little bit, but then she sort of pulls you in and she hugs you both. And it's strange for the party to see this because you've got Emmerich, who's this very like, I'm Emmerich. I'm an inquisitor. I'm very stoic. And you've got Ella, who's like, I am the boss and the princess. And this very beautiful, old, you can see that her age is showing. Tabaxi, very regal, is holding essentially her children. And she's very great. And it's just, it's interesting to watch this. From Kane's perspective, he's used to the Duchess being like this very emotional, direct, take charge. You know, she's essentially the head of the largest criminal organization in the city, and all of that just kind of falls away in this moment, and she's just happy to be with her kid again. Where have you been?
Do I know how long we've been gone?
No, you have no idea how long you've been gone.
How long have I been gone, Mama?
It is almost been 2 years.
2 years? I, like, turn back to the rest of the group, like, it's been 2 fucking years.
Emmerich looks shocked as well.
And then I'm just like, we are fine, we are safe. We somehow got out of the city, and we've been having adventures and been scary, but also very exciting, and I'm just so happy to see you.
It is good to be seen, and Emmerich, you have kept her alive. I am very grateful for this. It is very good. And who are these people?
Well, I've picked up some new handmaidens. And I, like, call them forward. I beckon for them to come to me. And I introduce them each in kind to my mother.
Nice.
Like, this is Blair. This is the Baron. This is Gary. He is very interesting.
I was going to give her, like, the courtier's bow and say Duchess kind of through the bow and stuff.
Gives you the curt nod that is, you know, you normally see from high positions of state.
That's cool. I look like a street urchin, so it's fine.
Oh, so there's a lot of people here. This is the Church of Whispers.
She deals with everyone.
Right. Yeah. This is the Court of Miracles, essentially, from Hunchback. She's looking at the Baron. Hello.
The Baron, like, who's closest?
Probably to you, Emmerich. Well, no, it would be Silent. It'd be Silent.
Okay, I climb on top of Silent's shoulders, and like I make her lean forward towards, and I put my hand out for her to like pay respect to me.
She kind of reaches out and kind of shakes your hand with her, you know, her tabaxi paw.
I'm trying to think literally, what is a Duchess outrank a Baron? I think it does.
Yeah, the Duchess totally outranks.
Nobody outranks the Baron. Not in the Baron's mind.
You see Emmerich like tense up for a moment, like, oh Lord, what's about to happen?
Hello, strange. You are?
This is the Baron.
The
pleasure to meet you is the Baron.
The pleasure is all yours, thank you.
Ah, very good.
And I like pick up Gary and I show her Gary.
Gary's very heavy when you pick him up.
Ooh,
and he Gary. Seems larger now. Like he seems almost the size of the Baron.
Okay.
The Baron looks ecstatic. Finally, Gary, you have become my mount.
Hello, Gary. You are hanging. Ella, oh, God. Large.
Mama, what has happened here? Why are all these people down here?
Oh, it's, the city, it has been overrun. The flood have come. This horde of vampire. The vampire have arrived, and they have slowly, methodically, have been working to convert most of the city into their ghouls or familiars, or fully embracing them to their kind.
Say only for a matter of time.
Ah, yes. This is why Kane is here. The hounds have been influential in pushing back the undead, and we have been working with them for about 7 months now, 8 months. A lot of the guilds have fallen. Everybody has kind of gone behind the closed doors and is keeping their own counsel. We found it very advantageous to our tunnels and networks. Became necessary for the hounds to travel throughout the city. Even during the day now, I'm sure you saw the webbing outside. These beasts have been able to block out the sunlight so they can travel freely any time of day. So the hounds are using our secure tunnels and a lot of our antique shops as safe houses while we try to push back as best we can. So we have called in a lot of the brethren, and they are now staying here in the Church of Whispers proper while the hounds occupy a lot of our holdings throughout this.
Is everyone okay? I assume we have friends, and I don't give a shit about my sister, but other people that I know are family friends. I ask about people who are in my life that Vanessa does not know, but Ella does.
Right, right. For the most part, we have, the Church of Whispers has remained unmarred. It has hurt business slightly, but we are fairly safe. I believe Rosalind is involved with this group of vampire. To what extent, I do not. But her people are no longer welcome here, as she has also been cast out.
Inside, Ella does a happy dance.
Emmerich clears his throat for a moment. Forgive me, Duchess, but my family, do you know if they're okay? What has become of them?
Unfortunately, the 4th District was one of the first to take heavy losses, and it has become a bit of a hive. We have not set foot there in quite some
time. Emmerich looks kind of sad for a moment and then quickly changes subject. And the Crimson Cloaks, has anyone seen any of them around?
They have actually, it's strange that you ask about such a small gang. The Crimson Cloaks have grown in power quite substantially and are actually profiting greatly off of this incursion. They have been moving into a lot of the protection rackets. They have been taking over a lot of the slum parts of the city. For some reason, a lot of the other organizations within town have been suffering, but they have actually been growing in strength and number. What makes you ask about that?
They actually are part of the reason that we disappeared, and I believe part of the reason that these vampires have emerged and taken over.
Yeah, man, they owe me 1,500 gold.
Likewise.
Please explain.
Ella got it into her head to acquire a blade from one of Rosalind's contacts. Once we acquired the blade, the Crimson Cloaks attacked us. We were taken captive, and they asked her to open a door. When we opened the door, that's when these vampires showed up. They attacked, and we had to exit through a door that transported us to, believe it or not, another city.
Evidently, the knife belonged to one of the thief lords. It's called an Ephraim's razor.
I just, stand there holding the sword at my side, staring at my mom wide-eyed.
Anna, dear child, what did you do? Why did you... Emmerich, why did you let her... Oh...
I was going to be given great power and strength.
Yeah, but at what cost? You made deals with ancient powers. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Do you? Does she know what it is? What is it, Ella?
All right, I don't know.
It is a contract. You have signed a deal with the ancient forces.
I did know that.
We are the ones that people make pacts with.
I was going to say, I remember the guy who trained you into doing your animal thing said that to you, too. The well-dressed troll.
We are the ones that people make contracts with. We are not the ones who have contracts held with us. You are now bound.
I wanted the sword. I did not understand what would come with it when I took it.
Why did you take it? Emmerich, why did you let her do this?
Because I wanted it.
I admit that I also had some curiosities about the blade as a religious relic.
He has one now as well.
He's trying to like shift some blame onto himself.
Yeah, well, when she goes, he has one as well. The Duchess' eyes narrow and just kind of look over at him.
Yeah, man. I'm taking you down with me, motherfucker. Mom's going to be mad at both of us.
I will speak with both of you later. So Paul Kane is getting this. He's kind of taking everybody in. And he's looking over at the Baron, who is who's like a 3 foot tall vampire. And it just seems very strange because he's been fighting the undead for so long. And the Baron seems completely different from anything he's ever encountered.
Because he's now also riding large.
Well, are you riding Gary at this point?
If he's large enough, yes.
Yeah, Gary would definitely be large enough.
Noblest steed.
So there's this, explain what the Baron looks like, please, Matt.
He is a little blue, pale blue goblin with a black cloak on and a little tiny crown. You can see him on the map there.
But an air of majesty about him.
Yes, he believes he is the king of all.
And he is he's now riding a large, what's essentially a little bit bigger than a dire rat.
I'm going to turn to Gary and be like, Gary, what is happening to you? You're so big.
I am feeling strange. Different.
Are you okay?
It is not a bad strange. I like it.
Kane, you just see me talking to a rat and then the rat making rat noises at me.
So many surprises going on at the same time. It's hard to process what exactly is going on right now.
Yeah, you've gone from the normal order of the Hounds of Ashkala and this sort of this city that's been under siege for about a year and a half to this group of buffoons who've just sort of walked in and seem like carefree in a very chaotic sort of way. And it's just, it's a bit jarring. Like, you're just like, what the shit is happening? Like, it's just, it's different. So that's kind of the general tone making up is here.
I try to whisper the Duchess, right?
Mm-hmm, the Duchess.
Just with the state of the city currently. Maybe the circumstances about should be kept under wraps. Don't think we want anybody else knowing your affiliates.
I do agree.
Bringing more chaos.
We kind of make a plan, have a bit of a decompression, see where things stand. Let's have a meal, shall we? Shall we have a meal? I still don't know who the giant fellow and the very lecherous looking one are. They seem to be just standing quietly. And you guys kind of look to the back of the room, and Cry and Roland, in a very like wallflower sort of looking way, are just kind of leaning against the wall, just kind of like, Cry like kind of reaches up and smiles. He's like, I still people are.
We have not traveled with them before today. We met them outside. They needed to come in, and I needed to come in to see you.
I understand that. This is a lot. This is a lot to take in. I need to know where these other cities you've talked about, these other places. Let us sit down. I will have a meal brought. Kane, do you mind staying a little longer? It would be good. Make sure that you're up to date on everything that is happening.
But of course.
I thank you for your time. I really do. Kane has been instrumental in helping us here. It is good that the Hounds are working with us.
I will turn to Kane as if I'm noticing him for the first time since being in the room and be like, thank you for keeping my mama safe. And then I would just turn my back to him and completely ignore him again and start talking to my mother. Mama, we have so much to catch up on. What has happened? Why have you not taken the city back? What is, we're nervous for you.
So let us go and talk. Emmerich, you take Kane and this, the Baron, and Plerion, was it? Yes, sir. And
yes, that's right.
Of course. You are an honored guest. And these other individuals, if you could please take them and have a meal prepared. I would like to speak with my daughter, and then we will all sit. And
of course.
Thank you.
And he, I guess, bows, whatever the normal.
Yeah, it's normally. So the Duchess and Ella go off in one direction, and Emmerich, you're left with everybody.
I guess let's get some food. And I'll, is there like a dining hall or something?
Yeah. There's.
It's in Jimmy Cafetorium.
Well, so there is actually a large cafeteria area, but then there's also kind of the private dining area. Church of Whispers is kind of broken into three major sections. There's there's kind of the stores and the vaults, which lead to all of the tunnels throughout the city. And that's where a lot of the tomes, a lot of the artifact organization stuff is kept. Then there's like the, there's sort of like a barracks area that has like bedding and a cafeteria and kind of places to relax and congregate. And that's for the members of the Church of Whispers. And then there's where you guys stay, which is sort of more like a manor house area. So it's got like its own private dining room, a kitchen, it's got the bedrooms, and it's more of like a home. It's large and it's still kind of got that whole cathedral vibe, but it's where the Blackfoot family.
Gotcha. It's the residence part of the White House.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's not really something that's seen by even the members of the Church of Whispers. But because Emmerich is, you know, Ella's guardian, Emmerich is kind of has a room in there and stays in that area. And you guys have been together long enough that this is like a place that it's home.
Okay. So if the Duchess is called the Monarch Guest, I would feel okay bringing them to.
Yeah, that's where you would be taking
the private diner. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this all area new to me?
Yeah, this is all new to you. So, and it's different because you've kind of been in and out, but you know that the Duchess has been worried about her daughter, and it's kind of something she hasn't brought up a lot, but she always asks for information whenever anybody sent out, like, where is she? Has anybody seen her? Has anybody seen Emmerich? Does anybody know where they're at? Nobody can locate them. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. Like, it's a thing. So it's sort of, this is sort of new to you. It'd be like you going into the boss's private office where there is like a dining and stuff. Like, and you see, like, the Duchess has lost a lot of the mystique of being this sort of powerful mafioso leader and is now, you can see she's, in this moment, she's happy to have her kid back.
Uncomfortable. Got it.
Yeah, super uncomfortable for you. So Emmerich kind of takes you guys all in and, I mean, it's a pretty good group of hired people that work within the manor part of the house. And they're able to kind of get the food starting. They're starting to prepare things, just kind of inquiring what everybody wants. And everybody's very confused by the Baron, and they're not really sure what the hell they're supposed to bring him. It's, excuse me, sir, what do you eat?
What's on the table? Like, is the meat and stuff?
Yeah, there's some cheeses, some meats, some fruits.
Saucers of milk.
Yeah, saucers of milk.
Listen, bring me livestock.
Livestock. Oh, okay. And then just kind of wander back into the kitchen area. And just, I don't
know. Emmerich kind of goes to the door and stops him. Is like, if you've caught any rodents recently running around, or if you have any meat fresh from a butcher, I guess bring that to him.
Let's see what we can do, Emmerich. It is good to have you back.
Thank you.
So everybody seems like a little bit more relieved than, like, normally you see them and they're the people you work with. You can genuinely tell that there's a sense of like relief or worry that, you know, like you're back, and they're very grateful that.
Almost so like this, very tense, or even more tense, because Graziella and I have been just gone.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's, I mean, just missing completely, so nobody knew.
So most of the people that survived were like the nobles, the upper class, that kind of thing? Or is it like a pretty much just a general melange of the people that were in the city?
So this is all information Kane would have, but not Paul?
I was going to say, from looking around, like, because I grew up in the city, I would notice my sister.
Oh, I thought you were asking openly.
Oh, either way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. So Kane, Paul's character, is going to give you an info dump, but because he doesn't have that foreknowledge, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
And we'll just kind of go from there. So what he's able to relay to you is that it is not class specific who's being taken. It looks like the efforts in the city are concentrated in areas with a lot of religious affiliation. So any areas where there's a large following of a deity, that's why the guilds were early to fall. Because it was, you know, anybody that has patron deity, specifically those that watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
were taken down fairly quick, and it was.
But you're saying they specifically targeted the religion.
Yeah, they specifically were targeting faith.
Okay.
You know, any instead of arcane magic, A lot of those areas haven't been affected really, but divine magic areas were hit hard and fast. And that seems to be where the concentration of the most dense and dangerous parts of the flood are.
I guess on the one hand, it does make sense. That would be the areas where there would be people that could do the most damage to them, but
yeah,
it seems unusual that they would attack those areas first before bolstering their numbers.
Unless they had big numbers to be.
No, they were fairly strong.
Yeah, how many coffins did we let them open?
32.
Oh, 32.
Yeah, I was like, it wasn't that many. It was enough, but
it's a number that it's a number that repeats often in this game.
Yeah.
Well, plus, I mean, you know, they could, as soon as they're out, they're biting, they're converting, they're, you know, bringing people over to their cause. So, I mean, I don't know.
You're also gonna get that conversion, actual transformation from living to vampire, is very low. Mostly it's either ghoul, so they're taking them and they're converting them to like kind of the not your kind of more intelligent ghast, sort of hunter, sort of undead, but just sort of your mindless, not zombie, but like your mindless sort of
right.
Thrall. They're converting more into like these sort of mindless thralls than they are actually
foot soldiers
to become. Yeah, just or
foot soldiers, yeah.
As opposed to being part of the clique, I guess.
And the red cloaks or the crimson cloaks, have they been converted or do they seem to be more like familiar?
There's a theory of both, and that's actually why Kane is here, is to help investigate that. And you would wager if there was some grand narrator coming up with some sort of, we'll call it plot, that would be the next, chapter of said plot.
Okay.
Is getting to the bottom of that.
Emmerich's feeling a little better that he gave him a false name.
Yeah. It's very good that you gave him a false name. you would have actually probably been kind of fucked if you hadn't, just so you know. that's sort of what's going on there. So Kane knows that investigating the Crimson Cloaks is the reason that he was actually speaking to the Duchess. So going and investigating them is probably the next, we'll call it a plot point as we move gotcha. Forward. You could almost say there's some grand plan here. So while you guys are getting all your stuff together, I'm going to jump over to Ella, and so she kind of walks you back to the kind of her private chamber, and she's got her hand on your shoulder, and she's kind of just holding you close, like, wait, what has happened? Why?
Mama, I wanted to get the sword, and then everything things just kept happening, and then it was different places, and then I met all these new people, and I couldn't get back to you.
But is power is that important?
Yes.
I mean, for what? What purpose? You are no longer in control. Something controls you.
I needed something of my own. You have this, and but Rosie this is was yours. Going to take it after me. Rosie was going to take it. I wasn't going to get it. I had to make my own, and so I set out to do that.
And I can appreciate that, and I am very proud of you. You have never, other than Emmerich, and I appreciate that as well, but you've never taken for granted what we have. But this
I was just trying to be successful like you.
You are always just, was there any word spoken? Was there, the nature of the contract? Do you?
So I'm going to give her like a really rough rundown, which I'm sure is not all that helpful to her.
Right.
But like the very broad strokes of like how I got the sword. We got to the Pepto-Bismol Palace. All the stuff about Hans. And I'm not mentioning the keys. I'm not mentioning anything about the, like, windows or the daggers or anything. It's really just very high baseline. Probably nothing helpful to her, but things that seem important to me in my life.
Right.
And then I start to show her, in a very small way, the new druidic abilities I have acquired. Including the ability to summon wooden soup spoons with my baker ring.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I guess that is that was inevitable. Like she's just like
there was a big shadow, and they had to wave at it.
She just seems, you know, she's very just kind of trying to sum it all up, and she goes, "Can we get back to the part with the man in the what did you call it, the Garden of Knights? What?"
Yes, the night garden. It is all very pink, and I have my own room, but I have to share a bathroom with Emmerich, but it is fine. And my room has these statues, and when I close the curtains, they have boobies.
Yes. And this, what was his name? This man in the ring? You have a ring that you can call a man to you?
Oh, yes, Charn. He is my servant now. Do you want me to call him here?
Oh, yes, please.
I don't know that I want to do that. Well, it takes a minute. Mama, I think if I bring Charn here, he's stuck in the Night's End Garden. He cannot leave. He stays in these little circles, and he's not allowed to leave them. So if I call him here, I do not know what would keep him. I know he's like a demon, right? Or a...
Yeah, Charn is a fucking demon. There's like there's a lot of things you question their reality and what they may or may not be. Charn... 100%.
Yeah, I feel like he told me he was a demon. Yeah, he's a contract fine with
demon.
It.
He's 100% a demon.
Yeah, he's fine with it.
Yeah, Randolph's a vampire. Charn's a demon. Yeah, that is his truth. Charn is a demon.
Yeah. I don't summon him. But I tell her the ring can do it.
I would be very interested in speaking with this Charn, more to learn the nature of the contracts and see if the contract you are under could possibly be connected to that.
Is there some way we could, he's protected by these circles, and I like explain to what little magic I would know he can't get out to see if she could recreate that here?
A basic binding circle.
Sure.
Of course.
Did you see I can change the color of my...
It's very nice. You never cease to amaze me, my little nightmare. And she's like, after dinner, we will talk more to this Charn individual. And Hansabar, you called him Hans, I believe?
Yes, he's helping me learn how to be a different kind of cat.
Does sound like him.
And he taught our friend Silent how to make cookies.
He's a good teacher. It is interesting that you two have crossed.
You know him then?
Yes, I've known him for quite some time.
Oh, you've worked with him before?
Yes, we have worked together on a few projects. He is a baker.
Yes, apparently I am a baker now too.
That is what I...
I make another wooden spoon. I hand her both spoons.
Thank you, dear. she's
I'm very proud of my spoon.
Yeah, it's sort of in the same way that like when you make one of those shitty ashtrays and like in like arts and crafts when you're in like fourth grade and you give it to a parent, and if your parent loves you, they're just like, I will put this on the shelf and it will be
nice. I'm a cat who has caught a leaf and given it to my owner right now.
Exactly.
It's just, awesome leaf I made.
Look at the shit that I put together. That's dope.
Check out my raisin collection.
Yeah. This is very nice, sweetie.
Okay, so since she knows Hans, mm-hmm. I will feel safer, and I will give her more information about how Hans has us searching for these rings, and how Hans is the one who brought us back to the city.
As you're searching for the keys?
The keys, yes.
Interesting. Well, I would like to know a little bit more about these, and I believe I was about this.
Oh, also, and then I like launch into a very long angry tirade about Rosalind and the shit she's been up to, and like that I found the knife and the lady in the mirror, glass mirror thing, and about how she's a bitch, and I'm like really happy that mom's on my side now.
Yeah, your mother's face goes through the range of emotions, and when you start talking about the mirrors, is when she starts to get really fucking worried.
And I start to like explain, because I got a good look at like who was in the mirrors, because they like looked at me. So I like explain who was in the mirrors and everything. Now that I remember that's connected to my bitch sister, I tell her all about that.
It's mostly, so instead of telling her about the main three big bads of every old Magic gaming campaign, you go into the explanation of how Rosalind, your older sister.
Yep, she's a bitch.
Which is fucking hilarious.
It's what I would do.
It's good shit.
Petty AF.
She's just very, I mean, Rosalind has been her big bad for her entire life. So now the fact that Rosalind is getting taken down feels like a victory to her. Like all the other stuff she hasn't had time to like deal with. She's just like the biggest villain of my life story is wrapping up right now. So she wants to tell her mom all about that, but it's very much through the guise of Rosalind.
Which makes total sense. So as you're kind of going through the Duchess's, we are going to have all of this looked into. I would like to
pull out all my new magic stuff and start showing it to her. Like, does she want a cloak of Featherfall?
Sweetie, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I have a bow. I have a lot of magic because I just keep picking shit up.
You keep stealing everything.
I do, and people don't want those, so I take them.
Oh my God, look at
lots of pockets.
You guys make it through. The rest of the party kind of makes it through the majority of the meal. You kind of all find yourself. Eventually, the Duchess just, she's very amused with Ella, and you guys kind of make your way to the dining area, and everybody's kind of sitting. Mostly everybody seems fascinated with the fact that Cry is housing so much food. Like, this dude is putting away just massive quantities. And it's just kind of a sight to see. Like, the Baron is standing on the table watching him, and just Cry will eat something, and the Baron will run across the table and grab something else and kind of run back and give it to him, and he'll eat more.
It's a fun game.
It's just like, how much can he eat?
Well, Cry's like 15 feet tall, right?
Currently, he's about 9 feet tall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was bigger than that.
Oh, he was.
I know he got really big when he fought that monolith thing.
Yeah, his size shifts and slips between about 9 foot and about 14 feet, give or take.
How big was he when we first saw him at that very first party, when it was just me and Emmy? When I was getting the razor that started all this shit.
He was a couple stories tall.
Yeah, he was huge.
Fight that stone thing.
Yeah,
he ran through a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a giant. He was fighting a giant ghost.
As we all do.
Ghost Patrick. Yeah.
The Ghost Badger, because we had to use the Badger miniature for it.
Spectral Badger.
Spectral Badger. It all comes back.
That's where the Spectral Badger came from.
Oh. Guys, we had some fun. Guys, remember Goteka Fupa?
Actually, Goteka Fupa is right here. Because always off the side of the map. Oopa, Goteka Fupa. Just right, always expect that 5 feet into the darkness, in any given room you're in,
is where my avatar will jump.
is where Goteka Fupa is at.
I hear a tuba in the distance.
Oopa Oopa, Goteka Fupa. M, hi.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Hi, girl.
Oh.
I'm going to catch you up.
Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're okay. What have you missed? What have you heard?
We are talking to Gratiella's mom.
Yeah.
And that's it. Goteka Fupa is here.
Goteka Fupa is always here. He's in all of us.
We have our large friend, and that's all I got.
You're in a dining room right now with the party. Ella and the Duchess have not come in yet. They're actually currently just walking in. And
did we fight something?
No, nothing was fought.
No, we've just been talking.
I seen damage.
Because we came out of that other fight. We haven't rested since we fought the vampires to get into the original door.
Oh, right.
And fought everything.
We fought the big guys.
Yeah, the big spider dudes. And Pry, like, lit all the webbing on fire and stuff.
Right, I do remember that. Silent has been taking all the notes on all of this. Have we met this guy in the back here?
Yes.
Yeah, we just briefly met him.
Yeah. She won't know what a hound is because she's never been to
She doesn't
to
know what a hound of Mashkala is.
She's like, huh, he doesn't look like a dog. I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know what he looks like.
He's human.
I've got a half face mask.
Why don't we let Paul explain his character?
I was kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
Quizzed. All black, head to toe, black hair slicked back. For someone who spends a lot of time underground, weirdly, he has a tan. I didn't mention that earlier, but he does. And he's wearing clawed gauntlets, metal. They're a mix of silver and gold. And he's got metal shin guards of the same look. But other than that, there's not much.
All right.
So, and he's been working with my mom. Like, he's like into her.
An ally. Together. We'll call him
that's
allies.
The word I was looking for.
He is like, into
they're
her.
A buddy worker guy thing.
I mean, he may have hooked up with your mom. I don't know. That has not been explored
Whatever,
yet.
Man. She's had a rough year. Get here as mom.
What role do I do to check to...
to see if you fucked my mom?
That is the charisma role.
You know, I can turn into a tiger, right? Like a literal
the Duchess,
tiger.
So
that's a new skill I don't think any of us have seen yet.
Talk about
roll for copulation.
Visual reference. Oh, good. Do we get the ref up? Matt put up a ref in the...
This guy looks crazy.
Yeah, I just pushed a bit.
Well, the bottom part is a mask. He's got, like, you know the samurai half masks?
Oh, okay.
So the Hounds of Mishkala.
Samurais.
Yeah, yeah. They are very samurai-esque. Actually, I'm going to let Imric, because Imric is from the city, we'll go ahead and assume that Silent asks Imric what the hell a hound is, and between Paul and Maddie, they can explain it to you.
Silent leans over to the group and is like, should I know who these people are?
Essentially, the gravekeepers of Mariel tend to the dead, and, well, I'll be honest, I don't know what they do with them.
It's not concerning at all.
Oh, Plarion might know, too. He's from the city.
Basically, they were tended with when the city still had a dome on it, mm-hmm. they would take care of the dead. They were the custodians of the dead. They, you know, disposed, rather than having, you know, corpses littering the city as people died because the city was sealed up, the Hounds of Mashkala were created to kind of take care of that and to dispose of remains.
Couldn't say it better.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, being walled in complications as people pass, we're here to guide them.
Hmm. Okay, Silent takes notes on all of that. I assume that you... Have you described our party, what she might look like?
No, I haven't.
So, there's a tall lady. A tall lady wearing a long red coat. She has a katana blade at her side. Multicolor hair. Freckles that shine like stars. And her eyes, one of them is white and the other one is black. That's who you see. And she is taking notes in a little notebook. She seems to always be doing that.
And what's on her hip?
Oh, besides the samurai sword,
mm-hmm.
My small friend is a fire imp looking thing. Do we know his race?
You have no idea what his race is.
Okay. He's just a little fire baby.
Yeah, he looks like a little flaming lava baby, about the size of a toddler. When she is not writing, she holds his hand. That is Pyre. He is our mascot, unofficially.
Dangerous little toddler.
Yeah, and that's what's going on.
He's great at lighting up spider webs.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's been useful more than once.
Yeah, he's very useful.
He's actually, by my notes, hit more things than Ella has in combat.
How dare you?
It's fucking true.
I can talk to a rat.
Ella has been improving, I'll have you know.
Yeah, oh, look at it. Yes, yeah, Tyler, first, coming to my fucking aid.
Those first few sessions were all ting, ting,
I know. Tyler wasn't even with the party when I went
a dagger.
Four sessions without hitting
a dagger.
And literally the first two fights hit nothing. I had special weapons made that you could hit nothing with them.
It was awesome.
I'm going through back episodes, so I know all of your adventures before I got here.
And she couldn't hit you. It was great.
It's true.
Hey, Jim, could you give us a description of Plarion, please?
Plarion looks like he was put together at the thrift store. Like, he has a couple of pieces of fine armor, like his pauldrons and his, like, his shin guards and his sword are very nice, but, like, the rest are just kind of... Like maybe the rags you'd see on a street urchin or just a street person. He's a paladin of Volkas, so he likes to wander around. He loves to travel. And he's always up for a game of cards, a game of dice, or someone who tells him he's good looking.
Good looking.
Well, he's got 16 charisma. He thinks very highly of himself.
As he should. You already know what the Baron looks like. Maddie,
Can
you want to
forget?
You forget the Baron?
No, how could I forget?
Yeah, how could you forget what the Baron looks like? Maddie, you want to go and let him know what Imric looks like?
Imric is a half-elf that looks very well put together. Anton mentioned that this is kind of like the Court of Miracles from Hunchback, so I picture Imric is definitely the Phoebus mm-hmm. walking around. He is the odd one out in this whole scenario. But his most striking feature is that his left eye is missing and has been replaced with an emerald. And he also has one of the razors that Graziella was talking about on his hip.
Yeah, we have his and her swords.
And a big, nasty black longbow strapped to his back.
You get the impression of all of these goobers that Imric is probably you and he share the most in common kind of mentality. He seems to be sort of the straight man trying to hold the whole ship together, as it were. So as you guys are all just kind of supping, the Duchess and Ella walk in and everybody's just kind of having a good time. And the Duchess sits down and she kind of like,
so what is going on? Tell me more about it, young lady. I don't believe we have met. Hello.
Mama, this is Silent.
Are you referring to me?
Yes.
Hi. Hello. Nice to meet you. She, like, goes to try and give her a handshake. Not sure if she should approach.
Yes, of course. It's a pleasure to meet you. Silent, my... she hugs you.
Okay. How tall is she?
She's probably...
She taller than me? I'm 5'9".
Yeah, she's taller than you. She's probably like 6'2".
Oh, damn, oh. She a big ass cat.
She's almost as tall as I am, actually.
Yeah, she's very tall and lanky.
Okay. Silent is like doing that thing where you're like not sure if you're supposed to hug back.
Where do I put my arms?
Okay. And then she goes and gives her a hug. And it's like looking at Ella, like, is this a normal thing?
My little nightmare has told me you have been influential in keeping her safe.
I just smile at Silent and I are buddies.
Yeah. she's like, I've done my best. I'm a writer. Have you heard of me? Silent Nocturne? No one has heard of me around here.
Give me a second. Hold on.
Okay. Roll to see if you have heard of Silent Nocturne.
Roll for fame.
Yep.
Let's see. So I'm going to add her bardic knowledge.
Shit.
Is my mom a bard?
Yeah.
Go mom.
27? Yeah, she's heard of you.
Oh, wow.
2.
She rolled a 2, but she gets plus 25.
She's badass.
She's a fucking 20th level bard. She is a badass.
She's a level 20 shit.
She's the Duchess.
I know.
She you runs.
Don't call anybody Duchess.
She runs a criminal organization in a city that holds the population of New York State.
Yeah, I know, man.
Like, she's a fucking
badass.
She's
fucking Al Capone, I get it.
Yes. That's actually fairly apt. She's Al Capone meets, like, Nucky Thompson.
Yeah, now she's gonna clean up everything I fucked up.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what she's gonna have to do. So I believe, what is that one? The Delicate Flower and the Plum Blossom?
You've actually read my... Oh my god, no one's ever... I've been wandering this desert for, like, 6 months now, and no one has heard of me.
Well, it's a brilliant piece of erotic fiction. I really like the way that you use the word engorged. This was quite artfully done.
It was a challenge to use it as many times in as many ways as possible by another one of my friends. It's very... I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was quite well done.
Thank you.
And the scene with the fawn and the male centaur? Wonderful. Wonderful piece.
You are a lady of excellent taste, I can tell. Perhaps we can explore some fine literature some other time.
Is Silent hitting on my mom?
Silent is hitting on your mom.
Everyone trying to fuck my mom. I get it.
Gary is sitting on the table and holding up his notes.
Oh, yeah. Gary has made some notes on my writing. Does he want me to read them to her?
No, I think he's just trying to be included. I think Gary looks
over at Kane to see his reaction to all this.
I was like, can't no one read Gary's writing but me?
Yeah, nobody can read it. It's just
scratches. Yeah.
Were we starting to decipher that?
Slowly you guys were trying to read.
You were trying to learn Gary.
I think I wanted you to like tell me what his notes said.
Oh.
So that I could
them. Yeah, we did do some of that because I turn to Silent and I tell my mother knows of Hans.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I like him or not yet. What do you think of him? What's her name? What's
the Duchess?
Name? Is that her name?
Her name is the Duchess.
That's right. How she has been referred to this whole time.
Yeah, that's her name.
I think I know her name somewhere in my notes, but yeah.
I don't even know if you know her name.
I think you just call her Mama. I think I have it in my notes somewhere from our early sessions before the game.
It's in an email.
Yeah.
Because I've only named her once and I've never named her in the game. Intentionally.
Alright, I can go find her.
Yeah. Okay. So you're asking the Duchess what she thinks of Hans?
Yeah, I'm curious.
We have worked together on projects before. He does good work.
All right.
He took a path bound to the Thief Lords, and I took a path bound.
Interesting. Well, I was apprehensive of him when we first met, but if she looks at Ella and keeps thinking about if she wants to keep hitting on her mother in front of her.
I just smile.
Well, you seem to have an exceptional taste, given that you've heard of my work and such. So, I trust your judgment.
She pats you on the leg. Good, good.
And then, how far apart are we?
Not very. I mean, you guys are sitting like next. So you're on her left. Ella would be on her right. Next to Ella would be Emric. Next to Emric would be Kane. Next to you would be Plarion. There's some space at the table. And then it's like Gary, the Baron, Roland, and Cry, all essentially seeing how much food they can play with. And the Baron is riding Gary up the wall using spider climb.
Oh, yeah, Gary's big now. Yes. Gary got big.
How is Gary big?
We don't know. He just has gotten bigger, and now the Baron can ride him.
The Baron is just like maniacally.
Yeah. I asked Gary, and he said he felt fine, but he's bigger now. Does he keep getting bigger?
He is slightly bigger than he was when you guys first got here.
Is he like the size of a Doberman now?
He's getting bigger. He's getting pretty quick, but he's steadily increasing in size. He's about the size of a halfling now.
Hey, Ella, can you ask why Gary is, like, large?
I asked him before, but I can check again. Gary? Gary?
He kind of looks down at you. Yes?
Why are you so big now? You keep getting bigger.
I don't know. I feel like I feel slightly different. Something
in
about
like
this...
like a good different or bad different?
Yes, in a good way. Something about this place, it feels...
Something has changed.
Changed within me. I turn to Simon and I'm like, he says something is changing, but it is good. He says he feels fine. He does not know why he is getting bigger.
Hmm.
You still cannot understand it. I know they can't understand him, right?
We've covered... nobody's understanding.
But I know that now, right?
Correct.
Because in the beginning I did.
Yeah, we've established that you are the only one who can speak.
Okay. Just double checking.
He's not reverting back to his original form, is he?
Yeah, you think that's probably...
I look up at him and I'm like, Gary, what did you used to be before you were a rat?
A druid, right?
Yeah, but what race?
Yeah, good question.
Yes, we'll find out.
I asked Gary.
Jim, Gary's do you know?
I know he was a druid and he got the rat is his animal form.
Right.
And he was a human, I think, and he was in the... Oh, crap, I can't remember the name of the city. He worked in the library. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. That's decent. The city's Relim.
Relim, thank you.
Yes, he was the librarian of Relim, and he was human. And he seems to be slowly encroaching on human size.
Is he getting more human characteristics, or is he just growing?
He's just growing.
Seems like a weird way to revert back to human form.
Gary, did you get any of your magic back?
I don't know. Hold on. And he kind of crawls back down to the ground and tries to get the Baron to jump off him.
I like try and pick the Baron up and take him off.
Release me, woman.
I pick him up anyway, put him down. He's kicking his little legs. I just take him up, put him down.
Put me down! So as you kind of are sitting there staring at him, you do watch a transformation. And Gary kind of shifts into a humanoid form.
Yet?
No. He's wearing a white linen robe. He has a leather tooled belt. He's got like a page boy haircut, and he's kind of looking at his hands. And I am very confused as to what is going on right now.
Oh, Gary, how wonderful! And I just give him a hug.
And you guys understood him when he spoke.
Yeah, he's speaking Helic.
Yeah, he's speaking Helic.
I turn around to the group and I'm like, he thinks it is weird that he is a human again.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
I just keep translating because I don't know they can understand him now.
Right.
Very disgusting.
I'm sorry we got rid of your cool mount, Mr. the Baron.
Just very angry.
I have all the designs for a saddle.
I like turn to my mom and I'm like, Mama, is there something in the church that would have made Gary turn back?
Who is this man?
He's Gary.
What? The rat?
Well, he was a rat, but before that, he was obviously this.
Are you familiar with the concept of druids?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you can. Maybe, can you change the color of your skin like I can change the color of my fur? And I, like, I'm blonde now.
Oh, this is very concerning. Emmerich, explain what is happening, please.
I'm a little easy on details myself, as I only spoke to the rat once. But Gary appears to be 1.8 druid. And then something happened that kept him stuck in his animal form. Somehow, Graziella has tapped into that natural magic as well.
Hmm.
And do I know I'm a druid?
I don't think so.
Well, no.
Hans told her.
Yeah. When Gary told me he was a druid, Hans told me I was a druid too. Yeah.
I think you told me you turned into a cat.
I think everyone saw me turn into a cat.
No, only Silent was there.
Clarion was too.
I was too.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys on the deck? I didn't think you were stargazing. That's right.
I was doing my star charts, yeah.
So this is very strange to Kane because druids are, in Maya, druids are essentially mythological. They're like the fae in our world.
Yeah, he's typically a stoic-looking person, but mouth is visibly, and it's just visible.
Yes, that is exactly what it looks like. Picture that, but that is what I was doing this whole time. It was mind-boggling.
Can we see his open mouth because of the mask?
Well, he's probably taking the mask off so he can eat.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah. He takes chopsticks and puts everything down inside the little mask.
I like that he eats with chopsticks. Just
that's how he gets it in the mask.
Yeah, I got you. So there's just so much confusion. Even the Duchess is just very like, this is all a lot. The people in the mirrors. Could you please tell me more about these people in the mirrors?
Oh, yes. And I start to explain about the mirrors again, and I let the rest of the group fill in more details because, again, I was very focused on Rosalind. So I tell them about the... Hold on.
There's a red-haired...
The heaven mirror and the woman with the cream dress, curly red hair, half-elf, evil smile. Abyssal wasteland, endless waste mirror. Woman with white gown... light dreads has a rapier, and then a stone room with a man in fancy clothes, elven ? Floating overhead is crown of queen. Evil redhead says no, shatters mirror, dagger on ground behind stone mirror, says notes.
what an interesting description. Can anybody else help me fill in more of these blanks? What is she talking about?
Was red curly hair not helpful to you? Was cream gown not helpful to you?
So like, we're pretty sure.
You don't know who they were, right? Like,
right, you don't know who they were.
Yeah, all we have is the physical descriptions that Graziella has given.
We need to know who they were, not who they wore. Hmm. The cream-colored clothes and things.
Yeah, Emmerich starts filling in the details about the rest of the tower, that the displacer beasts on the top, and then, of course, the unicorn and the children.
Oh, and it was by a giant painting of giant animals-ish eating stars in them?
Yep.
What?
Notes!
Say it again. What was that?
It was a giant painting of giant animals, parenthetical-ish, so animals-ish, eating stars in the sky. There was this painting that was by the three men.
Anthropomorphical figures consuming constellations and the constellations. Animals-ish. Yeah. And the constellations represented the deities, those who watch.
Oh, and then there was the burning pieces of paper that were on the wall. Epe Sylvia.
Can I get a perception check from Kane?
Oh, there were burned flowers on a table that were not local flowers, that were summoning magic.
The thing about kids stands out to you because there has been a fairly large increase in missing children's bodies. So not so much missing children, but normally there is a fair amount of death, all age ranges, and it seems like the general child population has been decreased exponentially over the last couple of months. So when they're talking about these kids, these dead kids that they found in the tower, it stands out as odd to you because you have also noticed that there has been something strange with just the child population of Muriel, enough that it's like on your radar.
When you say dead kids, many are one, two?
We found 13. We found 17.
17.
They were dipped in paraffin.
They had been dead about 6 months and they had starved to death.
But they were hooked to a unicorn to feed it. It's their psychic energy. You know, they're...
I think the unicorn just would have fed on them. Like, I don't think it was a like parasitic
relationship. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a unicorn nearby.
I think he existed because they existed. Like, once he died. Yes, but I don't think he was, like, eating them.
Oh, okay.
The bigger concern is for Kane, the bigger concern for you, I'm assuming you're already catching on to this, is that there's a bunch of dead bodies.
17 corpses just sitting around somewhere.
Right.
And those little flat, those little black rocks. There were those little black rocks.
Yes.
Which Emmerich has some of.
Yes.
Yes.
Are those the same that are on the floor of the Church of Whispers? The, like, mosaic on the floor?
No. Different
rocks. I like rocks.
When I look at these only through my emerald eye, they are invisible. I don't know what these are. They unnerved me enough that I took them, but I don't know how comfortable I am keeping them.
Did we know that when he looked at them, they were invisible?
I don't think he's said that before.
I pull out my razor and look at them through my razor. I hold my razor in front of my face like this and just stare through it.
It's like looking at three images on top of each other. Like, it's disorienting to look at them.
It's like watching a 3D movie without 3D
without glasses. The
glasses, yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe like they're existing in multiple places at the same time?
Pretty much. Is Kane wearing his amulet?
Yes.
Okay. When you look at them, you see a direct conduit to at least two points of the afterlife.
Would you mind if I held one of them?
By all means.
I'll take it, inspect it in my own hand.
So as you're holding it, it seems like somebody has tethered the Silver City, which is the heaven analog in Maya, and the Abyssal Wastelands, which is the hell of Maya, almost in a thin tunnel from one to the other, with a focal point being the stone that is located in whatever plane the stone inhabits. So if the stone was like in the prime material plane, it would be tethered to the prime material. If the stone was in the elemental plane of water, it would be a tether from heaven to hell passing through the elemental plane of water. Like, essentially, this is the thing that allows the tether between those two areas to exist, which is an abomination. Like, there should not be anything that's just directly bypassing the normal checks and balances of the lands of the dead. Like, this goes normally when a soul passes, it lingers in the prime or whatever plane it's on, then it goes into the beyond. It's normally given some form of judgment by a deity or a psychopomp or something, and then it's allowed to pass into whatever its existential next life is going to be, whether it's reincarnation or it goes to the happy hunting grounds, or it ascends to the Silver City, or it descends into the Abyssal Plains, where it's, you know, taken to whatever levels of hell and dealt with that way. This just seems like something has been tangibly created. Granted, it's a small something, but something has been tangibly created to bypass all checks and balances of the land of the dead.
How many of these do you have?
Three.
Are they all the same when I look at them? They all look the same?
Yes.
Okay, they all do the same thing.
So I'll briefly explain their, you know, tethers to the afterlife. Essentially, are against everything that I stand for. I'm going to place the one that I was handed on the table, and I'm just going to smash it.
You smash it, and...
Don't give Kane anything, guys.
Make a perception check, Graziella.
Graziella,
that's
me.
P is for cookie, that's good enough for you.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's a nat one.
Oh, yeah, you don't see anything.
I'm so happy to be with my mom. I just gaze at my mom. I'm so happy.
You hear from the end of the table. could you try that again? And you guys kind of look down, and Roland is sort of looking back at you.
I fucking forgot those guys were there.
Exactly. They're really good at that. They're really good at that.
Except Cry's like the size of a Buick.
Yeah, Cry's move silently is also 32. And that's all by the numbers. He was built legitimately. He's a legitimately built character from the ground up. Could you do that again? Yes.
Sure.
I look at my mom. Is my mom doing anything to stop this?
No, she seems very interested as well.
Okay.
So the first one, did it smash?
It did smash.
Okay. And nothing, I mean, you know, when a magical item or dispelled or broken, did
there's
it give like off any, give off any effect or anything? Or is it just like a stone smashing?
It's more like once you applied enough pressure to it, it cracked as if you were cracking glass, but the remnants were like ash.
So the next one, I'm going to put it in between like my palms, almost like hold, just like giving it just enough to break it if it's that easy.
Yeah, it's pretty, you don't even need a strength check to break this. So as you break it, Imric, let's just everybody throw a perception check.
I got 25 this time.
I'm still hitting on Gratiola's mom.
35.
Oh, damn.
Jeez.
Emmerich is fucking watching. Oh, player, and I feel your pain, bro. But a 21, 25, 35, but good rolls in there.
Those are good. And I'm going to say that Kane sees it because he's doing it. For the briefest of seconds, you guys get a glimpse of the spectral form. You guys have all seen a ghost before.
Is this spectral badger?
No, it's not a spectral badger.
Oh, no.
You guys see a spirit form. And Imric is the only one who's going to see this because it was high enough. It looks as if the specter is, and Kane would see it because Kane's doing it. It looks as if the specter is holding for a minute. And then from the ether, a silver strand of like almost gossamer webbing snakes out and snaps into the specter, and then it passes. And do I have to explain what that is, Manny?
So is it the tether's breaking?
No, I understand.
The tether's connecting.
Okay.
So the tether wasn't connected until the stone broke.
Good, because I would have felt miserable the other way around.
Yeah, no, it actually is, it's putting the tether back in.
Okay. Is the ghost a little kid?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's a small
child. Is it a dead little kid?
Yeah.
Are you killing children's soul?
Am I killing children?
No.
Yes. Well, Anton, you're a bad man.
I'm a bad man.
Killing younglings.
Care to give an explanation?
It's what, their astral plane, and they lost their connection, meaning that they were stuck in the astral. If the tether's being reconnected, then they're wherever they need to be.
Exactly.
In other words,
correct.
Does that mean we have to go back and get the rest of those small stones to free the rest of those kids?
So something has managed to find a way to keep spirits from going.
Yeah, to bypass an actual order.
And use them for what purpose?
I don't know. I wonder if they're like...
You guys are putting it together.
Well, yeah, the problem is...
Do we have this information?
No, the problem is player knowledge.
Yeah, because...
In other games.
Yeah, same.
A lot of the stuff from Goo like fits right into this, but I can't.
We learned.
I don't want to say it, not be something my guy would know.
Yeah, out of character in Great Old Ones, we learned that spirits were not going to the underworld.
Right.
Death was not receiving souls like he is supposed to, and that was weakening him.
And that the life energy was being used to bind and hold back, like the incarnations, right? Like the pestilence with all the experimentation on them and the other.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
Remember they used the watermelons to bind the spirits and stuff for from life energy?
Pumpkins.
The pumpkins.
Oh, I was like.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, the life energy is definitely becoming like something they keep siphoning into to power their own, whatever the big nefarious plan is.
Do you remember how many little stones we saw in that room? I know that like Emmerich grabbed a couple, but were there like hundreds
there was,
or were they?
There was two crates of them.
Oh man.
It took us 9 hours to walk down those steps, guys.
Yeah, that was a really tall tower.
But
destroyed the tower.
But that was also
That's
because
what I said.
We know the password to go directly there, wasn't it?
Oh yes. Yeah, because it was an elevator thing, right? Magic right. elevator.
Yeah, so maybe.
If we can find the code to get up and down the tower faster, maybe then we go back and we save some soul.
I asked my mom if she would know anything about that.
Good idea.
Oh, yes. This which tower was it?
It was the... I tell her which tower it was.
Oh, yeah, of course. We have most of the incantation codes, or at least workarounds to those, in the stacks. We could get that for you, no problem.
I look at Kane, and I'm like, so I take it we are going back to smash more stones.
You said there were how many?
There's two crates. When I say crates, I mean probably something about the size of a refrigerator, wooden box.
And these stones are small, right? Like,
yeah, the stones are...
Like size of a penny?
Yeah, that's actually fairly accurate.
Does Emmerich still have one that's not been destroyed yet?
Yes.
Yeah, there would still be one sitting on the table.
Can I ask him if I could hold it for a minute? Because I have the Pauldron of the Infinite. It puts me in between both worlds. And I thought maybe if I could look at it, it would tell me something about the soul trapped inside. Or
you want to talk to the murdered child?
I want to try to figure out how to get them out.
Well, I think we figured out how to get them out.
Right.
I might as well let him try, though.
By all means. I think Emmerich is, in his mind, a little more concerned about why or what is causing him to be unable to see these through the gem. The ramifications of that is.
Do you share that with everyone, that you can't actually see these stones?
I mentioned it at the table.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I looked at it through my sword.
Right. I just wanted to see what happened if I held it and did that shifty
thing. Do the shifty thing.
I do.
Make a reflex check.
I do wish it. Remember when Maddie touched that bow and arrow and it broke his brain?
I do.
11.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
I'm about to get hurt.
Do you have a luck roll?
Luck roll.
I don't think we have those.
No, I don't think we have those.
Okay.
Feat. I think you'd have to have that feat.
Take what happens.
Okay. This is going to be kind of brutal. So you shift, and when you shift, you're normally used to passing between into the between spaces.
Mm-hmm.
This is like passing into the between spaces, but instead of there being ground, there's just a tube. It's like stepping into a giant pit trap.
Oh, man.
And you start sliding. So I'm going to need you to, why don't we say flip a coin? Do you got a coin on hand?
Roll 1d2 in the roll 20.
I'd rather him flip a coin. I think it's more important that you flip a coin.
Well, if you wanted to.
Maybe call it first?
Yeah, call it first.
Heads. It is heads.
All right.
You don't die.
So you start sliding, and it is insane. It's torturous and laborious, and you're sliding for quite some time, and you're sick to your stomach, and completely disoriented. And you slam headfirst into essentially marble, like a marble landing. And you kind of stand up and get your feet and you look around and you realize currently standing at the stairs to the Silver City.
Holy shit. Can I shift back?
No.
Okay.
And you're kind of looking around and there's archons. They're pulling out their weapons. You see just massive growth of vinery with big yellow flowers wrapping around everything that's here. And all of them start to kind of advance on you. And you're looking back and you realize that as you turn back, you've come through like this tunnel. And there's thousands upon thousands of these tunnels that like seem to be all into the space all around, above and below, because the Silver City floats on like a giant disc.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like World of Warcraft, but it's like a floating city. That floats out in the ethereal void. And you're seeing out there all through the sky above and below, all around this above and below, there's tubes, these portals, and you're kind of taking it all in and you realize that each one of these is a soul that has been manipulated into being a conduit. Because if all of these souls are denied judgment, then they technically exist in both the good place and the bad place. And something has been able to deny these souls judgment so that they can't pass on and are using it as a conduit between both places, essentially a secret pathway.
So I'm stuck in an eternal waiting room pretty much.
Oh no, you're standing at the gates of the Silver City and you're being advanced upon by the Archons that are seeing you.
Okay, well I obviously can't fight a bunch of Archons on my own. So
as you go into panic mode, we cut back into the dining room and the stone falls. Plerion puts the stone in his hand.
Right.
And he shifts. And as he shifts, he disappears completely. And the stone falls. And so as the stone is falling, one of the Archons pulls out a large ruby sword and goes to cut him down. And the stone hits the ground and shatters. And you get ripped back into the dining room and slam into the floor and are just kind of laying there staring up at everybody.
Oh, man. Can I be directed to the bathroom? I need to
happy you wore your brown pants?
Yeah. I need to change. And then I'm going to tell him what happened to me. But that last stone shattered?
Yes.
Okay.
So what do we see from our perspective?
So the stone just shatters, as the other two have. And now that you're all paying attention, you see like this ethereal form of a child, and you watch this silver cord snake out of the ether and snap into them, and they disappear.
Well, that was weird.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sit and have a glass of wine and try to get my nerves and tell them what happened, as much as I can remember. Evidently, these stones are conduits of some sort. They're siphoning all the hell, the souls out of where they should be going and using them for some purpose. But the Silver City's overgrown with the green energy. It's taken over the Silver City.
When we saw the Silver City in the mirrors, did it have those, growth?
You only really saw, like, a very small segment of the waiting, an area.
You're all depicting a fight at the Silver City?
Yes.
And in the mural, I think it was when you held up your sword, we could see Hans leading a group of different races to battle the Silver City.
All kinds of humanoid.
Yeah. But when you don't look through the sword, it looks like a bunch of demons attacking.
Oh, and like snakes and stuff, right?
Well, without the sword, it looks like demons attacking angels at the Silver City. With the sword, it was Hans and an army of humanoids fighting the snake men.
Right.
Snake men armed with...
The snake men armed with ruby swords. So ruby swords are bad guys. Hans didn't have a ruby sword. Because Hans has a razor, right?
Yeah, Hans has one reference.
And that was in the painting, we saw all the humanoids had razors, right?
Yep.
Can I take out that mural? I did chalk rubbings of it.
Yep.
I'm going to spread it out a little bit. Start looking at it. I couldn't tell because I don't have the razor sight. So I'm going to ask Ella, how many razors, first of all, are there?
If I look at the rubbing through the sword, can I see? Because there were 31, 32, I'm guessing.
32.
Mm-hmm. Is the shot in the dark there? Are there 32 people on Hans's side?
There are. And as you're counting them, make a perception check.
1, 2, 3, 26.
There's a tabaxi with him.
There's a tabaxi?
Yeah, we noticed this guy before.
Never saw him before.
But he didn't look familiar to me, right?
Oh, it's not a he, it's a she.
Is it my mom?
And you kind of look over, and you look back, and you look over, and you look back, and she doesn't know what you're looking at, so she just looks at you, and you make, it's 100%.
I just look at her, and I'm like, Mama, it's you!
And she kind of looks at you inquisitively, and she...
And I point at the painting where she is.
What do you mean?
This is you, right? This is Hans, and I point at Hans, and I'm like, and this is you!
Wait, this is this... And she points to Hans. This is Hans?
This is Hans. Oh,
show her through the sword.
A sword only works for me, right?
You could show it to someone else if you will them.
Yeah, you can show it if you will it.
Yeah, because you show
it. Oh, because I've just never shared that with anyone. I'm a bitch. I will show my mom through the sword.
You showed me the mural, but then you tried it with something else, and I think you didn't want me to see it, so it didn't.
So you didn't let him see it.
I just listened
to you. You're welcome for the one time, Emmerich.
This is Hans.
Yes.
This is who you are calling Hans. This is who you are friends with.
Yes.
This is Barbatos.
Yes. He said we knew that.
Wait. Hold on. Elaborate. Elaborate on that.
From the recipe because his mark was on it, remember?
Yeah, we knew he was Barbatos. Barbatos.
But she thinks Hans is someone else who is not Barbatos. Who is Hans to you? Silent ass.
This is Barbatos.
Yes, Hans is Barbatos.
Hans? Hansabar?
Yes.
Yeah, Hansabar. That's Graziella's father.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hans is my father?
And we'll pick this up next time, ladies and gentlemen.
God damn it.
She just fucking dropped that on me. Like, I would have known that.
Well, you suspected it at one point.
I did.
Then again, you suspected it. Bitch. A couple of people were your father.
I also don't super care. It's just weird that she would just so casually drop it.
I don't care, but...
Oh, by the way.
I wasn't looking for him, but now that you bring it... Wait, but she doesn't think they're the same person.
Fucker, you son of a bitch. Hold on.
I'm really good at what I do, Em.
I think it's more she knows him only as Barbato. I don't know.
I think I knew my dad was a... I think I suspected my dad was a baker.
Em's putting it together. I'm cutting the recording. But Em's putting it together.
little handmaidens. It is your old friend, Graziella Anastasia Blackfoot, here with a special deal just for you. We're partnering with a coffee company called Found Familiar Coffee. Their coffee is small batch and very premium. You know Ella would not be drinking subpar coffee, absolutely not. If you want to be queen of your own empire, you should definitely pick up some of this coffee for yourself. And when you buy it, use code OLDMAGICGAMING at checkout. That's OLDMAGICGAMING, all one word. I will specifically make sure that you get 10% off. It is a very good deal. And believe me, I know deals. So check it out now. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Crown of Queens. Emmerich is played by Maddie A. at MG Allen on Twitter. Garglin Yalt is played by Arrow Odd at RPG Home Brewery on Twitter. Graziella is played by Vanessa Singleton at Evil V Cookie on Twitter. Clarion the Unscrutable is played by our Dauphine of Audio at Yoda Jones on Twitter. Silent Nocturne is played by M at GameMaker M on Twitter. Our special guest, the Baron, is played by Matt Garbett at ArtMonkeyMG on Twitter. Our storyteller is Anton at OldMagicGaming on Twitter.